Welcome back to episode 5 of Ball Talk with Bun. Today I will dive into Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets, some potential huge injuries in the West, the Tennessee guard Dalton Connect and his ceiling in the NBA, some conference tournament games, there's actually some going on right now, and then of course what I'm going to start out with is some NFL free agency news. Of course, I guess the biggest domino to NFL free agency was Kirk Cousins to Atlanta. It's a shaky division, so getting a quarterback like that definitely can help them contend for that division title. And obviously that's huge. You host a playoff game if you win your division. And we saw the benefits that Tampa Bay reaped with hosting a playoff game. Tampa Bay almost had a chance to compete for a Super Bowl by going to NFC Championship game. But the contract, Kirk Cousins, like I said, it's an upgrade. You need it, but it's a lot of money for a 35-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles injury. And, it's not like he's really moving the needle in big games. I mean, that's what everyone says, but it's the truth. He has one playoff win. So it'd be different if he were younger. It'd be different if he had way more playoff success. It'd be different if, he actually were more reliable in the playoffs, was more reliable in big games. But, I guess I can understand it. It's a quarterback league. Everyone needs a quarterback. They feel like they want to win now. Raheem Morris is there. I have a lot of respect for Raheem Morris. Super Bowl champion Raheem Morris, by the way. But I have a lot of respect for him. The contract, though, I'm not the biggest fan, really. Atlanta is making moves, though. They picked up Rondell Moore not even 20 minutes ago, as well as Darnell Mooney. Those pieces with Kyle Pitts and Drake London and, of course, Bijan Robinson, they could definitely make some noise. They could definitely make some noise. But I personally need to see it in January. I need to see it in January. That's my motto for all these teams that aren't the Chiefs. I have to see it in January. And it's crazy that this is the biggest move of the free agency. I mean, it's crazy, honestly, that Kirk Cousins is the biggest free agent we have. But, Saquon Barkley went to the Eagles. I saw some people saying, well, DeAndre Swift finished top 5 in rushing and so did Miles Sanders. And I saw that and I was like, yeah, but if Saquon was also finishing top 5 in rushing in New York, what do you think he's going to do in Philly? Like, Philly's going to be amazing. They're going to be amazing. Jason Kelce's retiring. Obviously, they have to address that. They have to address that defense. The defense is it's atrocious. They have to address that defense. I'm really not too fond of Jalen Hurts, but at the same time, I feel like he played most of the year really banged up. You know, he had a knee injury and he had a bunch of other stuff. He was always sick. I feel like he had a bad knee injury and he played through it. So I feel like had he been more healthier, it would have been a better season for Philadelphia. But yeah, with this team now, you still have AJ Brown, you have Devontae Smith, you have Dallas Goedert, even when Kelce retired, you're still gonna have a top 5 offensive line. You brought back CJ Gardner Johnson, that helps. You need to address James Bradbury in the draft, meaning you need to find a replacement or you need to find something to cover up for that because obviously he's not the same. Same thing with Darius Slay. Darius Slay can still play. He can still play, but that's not big play Slay. So I feel like if Philly addresses more on their back end, meaning corner, and if they find a way to find a splash in the draft at corner, or if they there's still some defensive backs left, safeties and corners, honestly, they could use a safety too. Justin Simmons is still available. I mean, which I don't know how. L'Jarius Sneed could be available. I mean, there's going to be people available, and somehow Philly always has money, so why not? Derrick Henry went to Baltimore. There's some potential there. I don't really It could be scary because with Keaton Mitchell coming back, he did have a nasty injury. But I think he and Keaton Mitchell, I think that could be a scary 1-2 punch with Lamar. But again, man, they're an AFC, so they really have to show me in January. Their hump is Patrick Mahomes. They honestly might not have. They might not have a threat. Like, the only team that's ahead of Baltimore might be Kansas City. Might. There might be some teams better than them next year, but Baltimore, they have to get over that Kansas City hump. So I feel like the move of Derrick Henry, I mean, I see it get a lot of hype. I don't think it's the same move that Philadelphia is getting with Saquon, but I mean, there's some potential. There's potential. It just has to show in January, man. Like, it's as simple as that. I feel like with the move of Kirk Cousins going to the Falcons, I feel like the Bears are kind of in a weird spot now. I mean, obviously they're not keeping Justin Fields. I don't think they want to keep Justin Fields. If if a franchise or if a head coach is confident about their quarterback, I'm not having this conversation right now. We're not even talking about it. If they felt like they're going to keep him, they would come out and say, we're keeping him. He's our quarterback. It would be stamped. They would just assure everyone, just come out and say, Justin Fields is our guy, and we're going to build around him. And they haven't done that. So, obviously, I don't think they want him. The problem is, I don't think anybody else wants him. And it's crazy. Justin Fields, man, I'm a huge Justin Fields fan. But it's crazy to see this because, I mean, can you really blame these franchises? As gifted as he is, I mean, you can't take too much of a risk on that. And what is really the price for Justin Fields? Is he going to go for a couple of third rounders, a couple of second rounders? I wouldn't trade a first round pick for him. Anyone doing that, I wouldn't do that. Not right now. Based off the 3 years that I've seen in Chicago, despite all the flaws and all the atrocity over there, I would not spend a first pick on Justin Fields based on what I've seen so far. He has a lot of questions. So is he worth a second? Is he worth a couple seconds, a couple thirds? Maybe so. But who's going to be willing to take that risk and trade for him? The Raiders? Could they? The Vikings, even though in their same division as the Bears. I mean, Justin Jefferson said he likes Justin Fields. Just saying. But, I mean, you don't have to pay him. Not yet. He hasn't proven anything. So you don't have to pay him yet. He's going to be cheap. I mean, if it makes sense for Minnesota, why not, man? Why not? Makes sense for Las Vegas. They're so adamant. They're swearing they're not going to trade Davante Adams. So you're going to go roll out Aiden O'Connell out there with Davante Adams? Come on. We don't deserve to see that. We don't need to see that. Davante Adams doesn't deserve that. But at the same time, I understand the reluctancy of some of these franchises, including the Bears, to, you know, really go all in with Justin Fields. It's sad to see. It's just sad to see. And with all these quarterbacks coming in, like Drake May, obviously Caleb Williams, who's amazing, but Drake May is good too. And then the Heisman winner this year, this past year, Jaden Daniels. With those guys coming in, I mean, Vikings, they can look at those guys and be like, we want them. Giants, they can look at those guys and be like, we want them. Same thing with the Broncos. Same thing with the Raiders. Same thing with the Vikings. So, I mean, same thing with the Patriots too. And obviously the Commanders and the Bears. So it's pretty grim. It's pretty grim for my guy, Justin. I want to talk about Nikola Jokic. I want to talk about the Nuggets. Obviously, the Nuggets are good. I want to talk about Nikola Jokic. I feel like he's one of the best players we've ever seen. I don't care how old you are, what era you grew up in, who your favorite player was. Nikola Jokic is one of the best players you've ever seen, no matter what your name is, no matter how old you are. He is special. There's no answer for him. And it's kind of unfair because Jamal Murray, he's going to perform too. Michael Porter Jr. is going to perform. Aaron Gordon is going to guard. Aaron Gordon is going to get big rebounds. He's going to make timely plays. He's always available. And Aaron Gordon and Jokic's connection is one of one. I mean, every time Jokic finds against Boston, it looked like Jokic was taking a hook shot, but it was an alley-oop. It was like an alley-oop hook alley-oop to Aaron Gordon. Big play in the Boston Celtics game. And speaking of that game is what made me want to talk about Nikola Jokic today, because Nikola Jokic literally took over the game. I noticed something about Jokic, though, watching him more and more recently. He really chills into the fourth quarter. Like, he's a playmaker first, but when it comes, if it comes down to it in the fourth quarter, if they need big plays, Jokic posts up every time. Jokic is on the block every single time. And there's no way to stop him. If he wants to get a bucket, he's going to get a bucket. You're either going to foul him or he's going to score. And on the other side, if you try to bring a double team, there's Jamal Murray around him, there's KCP, there's Reggie Jackson off the bench potentially. Obviously, there's Michael Porter Jr. So there's shooters everywhere. There's another playmaker, Jamal Murray, who I think doesn't get enough flowers. He's amazing too. Watches NBA Finals. If you watch him in NBA Finals in the past playoffs, and if you've seen him in the playoffs on the bubble, you know he's amazing. But yeah, Jokic, with all those guys around him, if you send a double, it's over. It's over. There's no answer. There's just no answer. And I feel like I feel like I'm going to have a hard time trying to argue for a team that can go against him. Like, if the Nuggets get the one seed, who is going to be silly enough to try and say someone's going to beat them four times in a series? Even if they have the four seed. 4-3, I don't care what seed. They could be the 8-1 seed. Who's going to beat Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets four times? Oh, yeah, and Mike Malone is coaching too. Mike Malone, man, he's obviously a great coach. But who's going to beat that team four times in one series? I'm having a hard time thinking of teams that can. The Clippers could, but the Clippers, they don't look as fresh as Nuggets, in my opinion. They don't look as young. And they have Kawhi out. Kawhi just got hurt. I don't know how bad. I don't know how serious it is. It might not be that serious, or as we know. But even if Kawhi's there, obviously, I hope he's there. I think he will be there. But even the team, a Clippers team that's healthy, Zubac is not containing Nikola Jokic. Zubac is not doing anything against Jokic. Mason Plumlee, Daniel Theis, they're not doing anything against Jokic. Anthony Davis, he's not doing anything against Jokic. Rudy Gobert, that's abuse. I mean, I just have a hard time thinking of teams that's gonna mess with Jokic. Sabonis, no. Lively, Gafford, no. It's just tough. And then in the East, I'm sorry, that game really just, the Boston Celtics and Nuggets game, it just opened a lot. It wasn't surprising, though. You know, Jaylen Brown had himself for the day. Jason Tatum did not shoot the ball at all. And that's pretty much what happens in big games. It happened a lot in finals. Happened a lot last year in playoffs. So it's like, you know, what am I to expect of Jason Tatum in the finals if they do meet up? Because Nikola Jokic's gamesmanship is one of one. No one's going to outperform him. So if you're just going to sit there and chill while he's literally taking over the game, it's over. You have no chance. You have no chance, no matter how good Jaylen Brown or Derek White or Drew Holiday or Kristaps Porzingis play. It doesn't matter. Speaking of Kawhi Leonard, there are a lot of injuries in the West. Luka just got hurt. It could be serious. I don't know if it is, but he's out today against Oklahoma City. Kawhi Leonard's out with back spasms. Obviously, Karl-Anthony Towns with the meniscus injury. I think that's huge. The Timberwolves, they're still going to be a tough team to beat. Even if Kat weren't in the playoffs, that's going to be a tough team to beat because they have the best defense in NBA. They can guard pretty much any team in the league. But without Kat on the floor, I mean, even with him on the floor, they're not a really a dangerous three-point shooting team. So I feel like with him gone, if he's not there in the playoffs, if he's missing time in the playoffs, that could be huge, depending on who the Timberwolves play, because the Timberwolves can't space the floor. And say if Anthony Edwards is having an off night, which he could, which he does tend to have sometimes, say if he's having a stinky night, they could lose some games in the playoffs. They could lose pretty early. So I think Karl-Anthony Towns, I think he needs to get back. Obviously come back 100%, but for their title chances or their Western Conference finals hopes, whatever hopes they have, they should hope to win the championship. But whatever hopes they have, I think they do need Karl-Anthony Towns there. As good as Anthony Edwards is and as good as that defense is, you need Karl-Anthony Towns on the court. And I feel like he really helps Anthony. He obviously helps Anthony Edwards. I mean, that's a space creator, and he can light up the scoreboard at any given moment. So, and then the Kawhi injury, that's really devastating. I feel like Kawhi is really, I mean, when we talk about Kawhi, we used to be like, if he's on the court, when he's on the court. You know, we haven't really said that this year because he's been on the court all year. So has Paul George. I feel like they've been playing through injury a little bit this year, which I respect because Kawhi never used to play through injury. Paul George was not playing through injury last year or 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Same thing with James Harden. Yeah. So I feel like they've really found a way to come together and be consistent in playing. So now this injury out of nowhere, it just sucks. It hurts because Kawhi is that valuable. I mean, if he's not there, the Clippers defense it really drops off. Because Zubac, he's not as effective on defense. James Harden gets hunted. Paul George, he's not the same defender he was six years ago. And he's not getting stops against the elite guards. Kawhi is. Paul George is not getting stops against elite forwards and wings. Kawhi is. So I feel like for their title chances, they need him back, as well as Russell Westbrook, too. Russell Westbrook off the bench with Norman Powell. I mentioned this a couple episodes ago. This Clippers team, and when they're healthy, which we always have to say, but when they're healthy, when Kawhi and Westbrook come back, this is a threat. This is a title contender for sure. But they need, even when Kawhi gets back, the Clippers have to be better on defense. Because I feel like when they see more of these elite teams or just some of these guards that can go get buckets, like Anthony Edwards, the other night, Anthony Edwards, I mean, the Clippers were in torment. Even when Kawhi was there, the Clippers couldn't do anything against Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards was getting to the spots. If they see a Devin Booker, they have to be ready. They have to be ready for these guards. A Luka, a Devin Booker, a Steph, maybe De'Aaron Fox. The Clippers are old. They have to be ready for these young guards coming in that's coming for a title. So they have to be ready for that. They need Kawhi. Dalton connects ceiling. The Kentucky and Tennessee game, I watched that very closely. Before I talk about Dalton connect, Reed Shepard is really good. My guest on the last show, Trenton, he and I talked about Reed. We talked about Rob, I think, too. But yeah, Reed is really good. He should be a top five pick. But Dalton connect, I don't know, like, when I watch him play, I've seen him play all year. I've watched him play all year. When I watch him play, I see a three-level scorer. He can hit from mid-range. Obviously, a lethal shooter. He can go to the rim. He has a handle. He can post up. And I be seeing the mock drafts, and he's not high on any mock draft. Like, I see him around in the teens, and I get confused because he's a 6'6 guard that can spread the floor. And isn't this what the NBA wants? Isn't this the new age NBA? I mean, this guy, he's instant offense. And he does it efficiently. This may raise some eyebrows, and I may get some bad reactions out of it. But when I watch Dalton connect, I feel like he reminds me of Devin Booker. He has the whole bag on offense. The mid-range, he's a lethal shooter. He can get to the rim, and he can post up. Now, is he more, let's say, versatile like Book? No, I don't think so. Book is a very, very, very good playmaker. He's probably averaging like 7 assists. He's a playmaker. But Connect scoring, I think his ceiling, I think he really could take the league by storm, because that guy can, he can shoot. Like, he has deep range. His shot is very pure. Like, his shot and Reese Shepard's shot are very pure. I think that's what I like about them most, because they can really shoot the ball. But Connect can put the ball on the floor at a 6'6", 6'7", frame, and he's athletic. And he has a post-up game. It's like, and it's confusing because all these scouts, these general managers, all these experts, all these TV shows, I never hear about Dalton Connect. I think it's because he's a senior, a 22-year-old, 23. I don't know how old he is. I think it's because he's a fifth-year senior. People don't talk about him. I legit think that's the reason why. And I feel like if he were a freshman, he would get so much hype. And I hate that. I kind of understand it, but I hate it because, I mean, what are we doing? If we're trying to draft the best players and we're talking about the best players, why is he not getting talked about? He has multiple 30-point games. He's the best player in the country, in my opinion. He's the best player in college basketball. I think he's better than Zach Edey. I mean, come on, man. People use politics and say Zach Edey's better, but I'm going to look at you in the face. I'm going to say Dalton Connect is way better than Zach Edey. Dalton Connect's the best player in the country. I don't know, like, I don't know what these GMs be doing. It's kind of sad. Tennessee cannot. I mean, he gave Kentucky 40. Like, what? We don't ever hear about college guys getting 40. And Tennessee cannot space. There's no spacing. There was no spacing. And Tennessee stunk it up. Dalton Connect had half their points for like 95% of the game. He had like 6-7 threes from deep, like deep range, contested. Even when double team was coming, he was pulling up. Like, that's literally what Devin Booker does in NBA. That's what Devin Booker was doing in Kentucky. But yeah, Tennessee though, Kentucky, Alabama, Auburn, Florida. I can't wait for the SEC tournament this weekend. All these games right now in this conference tournament, in these conference tournament games, I mean, it's pretty much the lower ranked seeds. I ain't been watching them. But when the higher ranked seeds come on, like Houston plays tonight, I can't wait to watch them. I can't wait to see what they do against a TCU team, a gritty TCU team. I think that's going to be a good game. UConn, who is playing right now, I'm going to check the score of that while I'm talking. Yo, UConn just beat Xavier by 27. Okay, it was final. North Carolina won. I'm looking forward to that Villanova and Marquette game. I think that's going to be a close game. The Providence-Creighton game, those Big East games in Madison Square Garden, they're always so good. They're always so good. And I hope Gus Johnson's calling it. But these games are very important, because obviously teams want to make the tournament, but we got to see where these higher seeds are, because when it's time for Selection Sunday, this Sunday, you know, where are these teams going to be at? Like, where's Houston going to be at? Are they going to be in the South region, Midwest? I don't know. Who knows? Is Arizona going to be the one seed in the West region? Who knows? These conference tournament games are huge, though. But that's all I have for today on Ball Talk with Bun. Thank you for tuning in.